Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us for our panel discussion on the COVID vaccine, personal and professional perspectives with African American and Latino communities. I'm Will Davila, Executive Director of the Children's Study Home. We're proud to be hosting this event today, and I want to thank the Public Health Institute for partnering with us, bringing everyone together, and Jessica Collins, the Institute's Executive Director, for moderating the discussion. And each of our panelists for agreeing to be part of this event. We're very excited to have everyone here, and I'll tell you more about each of them in a moment. As a social services provider, not unlike most of our panel, the staff at the Children's Study Home is on the front lines. So when we started doing vaccines on site for our staff and saw the demographics of who was signing up, we had some concerns about the disproportionate representation of our staff of color in opting out. So this matters to us, obviously, at the study home, but it's also a concern for Springfield, Holyoke, other communities where our African-American and Hispanic populations combined exceed 50% of the overall population. And the risks are further exacerbated when you think about things like crowded housing, limited transportation, limited culturally responsive healthcare, if healthcare is available at all. And our folks are often on the front lines. They're coming in every day to take care of others and continue to serve. Today, I'm not speaking to you just as the CEO of the study home. I'm also a Springfield resident. Born and raised, I'm Puerto Rican. I got my second shot last Friday. I had no side effects from either shot, thankfully, and it's a relief to have that behind me. Though I continue to take some safety precautions as required, my wife also had both of her shots. She had a little discomfort, and she's fine. So if you haven't had your shot yet, I hope that that what we hear today will help inform your decision-making process, and that you get to hear some of the questions answered that you have by our esteemed panel.
So let me introduce them today.
First, I've had the pleasure of working, I'll say this, with most of these individuals for many years, and I admire and respect them, and I'm happy to have them here with us. First, Ron Johnson. Mr. Johnson has a master's degree in education, and he's the president and CEO of the Martin Luther King Jr. Family Services Center, where he has served since 2012. In addition to his role at MLK, he's held senior executive leadership roles at the Center for Human Development and Mass Mutual Life Insurance. He's a lifelong resident of Springfield, and he brings his successful strategies for community engagement to every aspect of his leadership at the agency and throughout the greater Springfield community. Next, Dr. Sarah Perez McAdoo. She has a medical degree and she has a master's in public health. She is the population health capstone director for the population-based urban and rural community health track at the University of Massachusetts Medical School Bay State campus. Her primary projects include creating a volunteer non-clinical community faculty, implementation of an immersive population health clerkship, and building the community doctor relationship. And there's a reason that I'm reading all of that. Dr. Frank Robinson is the Vice President of Public Health for Bay State Health. He has a PhD and is responsible for integrating clinical and community care to better serve vulnerable people and populations across the spectrum of diversity and create healthier communities. Dr. Robinson focuses on building community partnerships to achieve large-scale health improvements, including resource development, health education, and equity initiatives, and community benefits. And Frank was for many years the executive director of what is now the Public Health Institute, And that's where I first met him and served on his board for many years. Dr. Miguel Rodriguez, thank you for joining us. Good to see you. Has a medical degree and is a critical care medicine and pulmonology specialist. He has 20 years of experience in the field. He graduated from UMass Medical School in 2001 and is affiliated with Holyoke Medical Center. And he also is a graduate of UMass Amherst, which is where I met him when we were both undergrads just a few years ago. And last but not least is our moderator, Jessica Collins. Jessica has a master's degree and is executive director of the Public Health Institute of Western Mass. She has 30 years of experience in domestic and international community health. And she also serves as the co-director of the Be Healthy Partnership, the ACO made up of Health New England, Bay State Health, and Caring Health Center, and was one of the co-founders of the Live Well Springfield Coalition. Thank you all for being here. And now, without any further delay, Jessica Collins.
Thank you so much, Will, for that nice introduction. And I want to thank you for your leadership and your caring about your employees and your community, which brought you to this point and to our event, which I know is sort of the first of its kind in the past couple of months when folks have been trying to put webinars forward explaining the science behind COVID-19 and prevention and vaccine. And today I feel like you're offering leadership and an opportunity to really speak from the heart and educate folks through personal stories. And so I just want to applaud you for that. And thank you everyone for joining this wonderful panel on a beautiful day. And what we're going to start off with is to have each of you share about your thinking and your processing and your experience with both COVID-19 prevention, but also more specifically the vaccine. And you'll each have about up to 5 minutes, and then we're gonna have a dialogue amongst ourselves and go deeper with some questions, and those that are watching through the live stream are putting forward questions as well. So why don't we start with Dr. Frank Robinson?
Oh boy, I get to go first, huh? Great.
Yep.
So let me give some personal reflections. My COVID vaccine journey, so to speak. Well, let me take a step back around COVID mitigation. And what I mean by that is the work that we have been doing probably the last 6 months, 9 months before the COVID vaccine became available. And that it was really clear from my experience in Springfield and in the work that I do that the communities most at risk of COVID, where COVID would have the greatest impact, were center city neighborhoods in Springfield. Now, I can name the neighborhoods off. There are at least 11 what we would call low-income neighborhoods. And of those 11, 7 really are challenging neighborhoods in that they are they have limited opportunities. In other words, there's not an awful lot of investment in the development of those communities. So there are places where there are all kinds of challenges with regard to employment, education, income, et cetera, et cetera. We know those neighborhoods, Brightwood, Memorial, Old Hill, Upper Hill, South End, Maple High, Six Corners, and sprinkled around Springfield, other neighborhoods like them. And so we predicted that COVID would be significantly more virulent, more of a problem in those places than in the other neighborhoods. 16 Acres, East Forest Park, again, suburban neighborhoods. So we recognized right up front that there'd be two Springfields. And so with that, we have been involved for the last 9 months in focusing our energy and activity around addressing COVID problems and trying to mitigate the problems by providing other resources. So that's the journey I've been on. Voila, the vaccine shows up. I happen to work in healthcare. I happen to be really old, so I'm in healthcare. I'm really old, and that means I'm qualified for the first set of vaccines. So I get my two vaccines. And actually, I'm the only one in my household at that point with vaccines. So my 86-year-old mother-in-law, who stays with us, doesn't have one, nor does my wife at that point. And I'm volunteering at the vaccine clinic, and I'm actually witnessing this celebration as people who come through there. There's literally joy and happiness as people come through there. And then more recently, people are sort of bouncing out of the wheelchairs as these 75 plus individuals show up to get their vaccines. And so it's really a remarkable experience if you've not been there to witness the celebration in that folks see the light at the end of the tunnel. So I've had my two shots. I didn't even know I had the shot, didn't feel a thing, and had no reactions. So that's my story. I'm going to stop there and allow other folks to join in, and then I'll have much more to say as the discussion unfolds.
Thank you so much, Frank, for both the bigger picture context of which you always do so well, and then your own personal. So I appreciate that. How about Dr. Sarah McAdoo? Why don't you go next?
Sorry, the unmuting takes a little bit sometimes. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today, and wonderful to see people that I have worked with before and people who live close by. See you, Miguel. Wonderful to see you today. We live not too far from each other, and we can't even see each other these days. So it's wonderful to be here with you. In terms of my experience with, you know, COVID and the vaccine, I think the short version of that is that as the COVID was unfolding, you know, the infection was spreading and unfolding. I have family in New York, and it was becoming very acute, the impact of COVID that I was watching in communities of color, especially in my family, which we have some family in New York City and Manhattan and the Bronx. And we've had family members who were in the hospital, and a close friend of the family passed away at a very young age, in her early 20s, while working at the hospital. She was just starting off her career. That was very difficult to see the impact on the family and, you know, just everything that it was affecting. It was like a ripple effect. And there was a significant amount of fear among people, especially people of color, because they were making very difficult decisions in terms of, do I go to work? Do I go to school? And just watching the impact it had, not on, only on health, but beyond health. And the opportunity of being at work, both within the medical community and the public health community and in the community, William, as you said, in terms of the work that I have the privilege to do, is I've worked with many of you. And one aspect of that is really engaging with community members and kind of hearing what's happening on the ground. And that was not that much different than I noticed that my family was experiencing. So I think for me, one, I gravitated to working with anyone in the community that really is focused on how do we protect communities that Frank has shared, you know, communities that might be vulnerable for those factors. So doing a lot of community-based education in the community. And, you know, we have a mobile bus that's coming. And, you know, at that time, most students working in the medical school, they were shutting down a lot of their ability to do clinical work. And everything was going virtual. And we said, okay, no, we don't want to go virtual. How do we go into the community safely? And that was the direction that we wanted to go. How do we get closer to people, even though we have to be separated? We, without the bus, we were able to go to several communities. And that was very important because I think we got to hear what was happening, and also people were very curious to understand more, wanted to do something, but also had fears that we were able to discuss and talk about. And then in terms of the vaccine, you know, continue to hear some hesitation, some concerns about the vaccine, given the history, you know, as William, you were mentioning, you know, in the communities of color, historically, the challenges that have been in medicine and in science and not really being included or excluded, or even in, you know, in harmful situations where, you know, as we have historical examples of where, you know, Tuskegee and others were prime examples. So all that was sort of floating in the air. And then I had to do two things. One is I had to pay attention to, you know, what was happening on the ground, even with my own family, and then looking at what was happening in the public health and medical field. And understanding a little bit more about how the vaccine, you know, were created, how do they work, and then knowing a little bit more about how it was tested, that helped me also continue to gain confidence and the importance of it. And then the second, so I was able to get both of mine. And the first one was no problem, which I kept wondering, did I get anything? It was a little bit on the easier side. The second one, I apologize about that. The second one was a little bit more challenging. I did have some of the more common side effects that are known. Sorry, I apologize. I think this is part of the reality of working from home. but I think the other part in terms of taking the vaccine is that I did have some of the more common symptoms in terms of not feeling, you know, worn out, tired, a little bit of soreness. And that was, you know, very much expected. And I was able to navigate during that, but I can understand how it could be rather scary for people. So that was my experience with it. And I am, you know, it's a pleasure to be here and able to have this discussion because we want to make sure that our communities are able to go back to do the things that they love to do, go back to work, go back to school, see each other, and really be able to, you know, prevent human suffering, basically. So that's, you know, it's a privilege to be here with you. And, you know, like Frank said, we'll wait to see as the discussion evolves.
Well, thank you so much. And I am sorry to hear about your family's loss, but thank you for your continued passion in educating and engaging the community. So we're grateful that you're here. Dr. Miguel Rodriguez, do you like to go next?
All right, thanks for having me, guys. It's a pleasure to be here with Sarah, William. We go way back to UMass. So great memories, great friendships. So I do appreciate that, and to all the other members. Nice to meet you, at least in the Zoom community, right? So this is a loaded question that you have as far as our experiences with COVID, as it is pretty much very diverse because of the diverse group that we have here. Sort of my own personal journey with this is, I guess I can tell you about being as a pulmonologist in this field has been very dramatic, how my life has changed as far as a professional working in the environment of COVID. So making all the changes to make sure to keep my family safe, at least in the beginning of this, was very hard. Trying to have people understand the severity of the illness when they haven't, at least at the beginning, they didn't realize how real this was until now that we've had so many people affected by it that they've either had a family or a friend that have gotten sick with it and maybe have not made it. So how it has evolved, at least in people's thoughts. But the challenges were real in the beginning, to the point of how do I keep my family safe until I got sick with it, and I did get my family sick. So that was back in the beginning, and it was hard because even with all the proper PPE that we tend to want to use because it does protect us, it's not 100%. So what people have to understand first is that what we have works, but it's not perfect. So this is where the vaccine comes in. So in the beginning it was very hard. People were very skeptic about getting any kind of vaccine when it would happen so quickly. So at least my job, different at least from what I've been hearing, is that I'm seeing a patient's one by one, it's been more of trying to encourage people to understand the necessity of getting this vaccination. So at least from my end, I've been working with one patient at a time, right? And during that relationship, that period of time when we can have that period of just understanding of what the fears are, what are the concerns, and try to move that aside and put a big picture in it, risk benefit, you know, how is it gonna benefit you and your family to get vaccinated? And people, you know, do come up with an understanding once you put it in that picture of trying to remove the myths out of the way and remove any kind of concerns out of the way. They see the necessity. So I've been able to get people to get vaccinated in that fashion, dealing with their concerns one person at a time. So my journey through the COVID pandemic has been very full of different experiences, and I hope I can answer some questions and help somebody that is going through the challenges that they may be going through. So thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, Dr. Rodriguez, and thank you for being on the front lines. And I love that perspective of the one-on-one that you bring. So thank you. And Ron Johnson.
Good afternoon, everyone, to my fellow panelists, to the conveners, Will DeVilla and Jessica. Thank you all so much for the opportunity to be able to say a few words with regards to this COVID and the condition that it's put our community in. I kind of look at this from three different perspectives in terms of my filter for the interaction with the COVID. One is as a CEO in a community-based agency, and that of being an employer and the workforce that we have here every day, who are really committed in such a huge way to our consumers, to the folks that we work with, the families we work to empower, to bring themselves to a better place, the children that we're trying to educate through a remote learning center here. They're critical. They're absolutely critical. But their well-being is very important for our business to be able to go forward. So I have that from a humanistic perspective, but certainly from someone who just cares about the folks who work in an organization like mine. And I think that some of the folks who may be watching today may be in that place of being a person who is working in a direct care situation and needing and struggling with, you know, do I get this, do I not do it? My advice is you want to do it. And I'll tell you later on why you want to be able to do this. The other is, you know, as a community person, seeing who our consumers are every day. Here on a weekly basis, we're seeing over 650 people, not during the COVID, but typically 650 people unduplicated coming here, or we're going out to them for a variety of different kinds of services. But I also know the percentage that I am told about as it relates to folks who are coming here to get emergency food resources and who has passed away, who has been stricken and doesn't want to come out the house anymore, who has been paralyzed with fear, and meaning that they would trade off not getting groceries to stay safe. That's the reality of what my folks are dealing with. And then the other is as a family person. My wife and I, we go in, we've since the COVID, we've been testing pretty much every week or every other week. And typically we've been, you know, in a situation we've been okay. We do this for our family because we have a grandchild. We have son and daughter. I have an elderly mother. Want to make sure that I'm keeping them safe. I'm still coming to work for the most part every day and interacting with people. So that puts a layer of urgency and relevance on it. And the reason why I want to encourage folks to go ahead and do this, because yes, I've gotten the vaccine. I have my first one. I'm scheduled to get my second one on Monday. But my family, my immediate family, has been directly impacted by this. Wouldn't want this on anyone. If the vaccine is a way to be able to prevent you from having a very serious set of complications that are related to the virus, I would encourage you to absolutely do it. I see it up firsthand every day, and it's devastating. So please, you got to think seriously about keeping yourself safe and keeping those you care about safe as well.
Great. Thank you so much, Ron, for sharing that. I love the perspective, both that you're right, as an employer, but also as a family member and a community member. It's all important to reflect on.
Yeah.
So I'll throw out a question, but if you all have questions for each other, I'd love for you to just sort of dialogue naturally, if you all can. But I'm curious about what is the messaging that you trust? The COVID-19 virus obviously is a moving target. There's news of new variants, etc. And I'm just curious to hear what is the messaging that you trust, and how does that inform your decision making as we live with this moving target? So Ron, since you're unmuted, you could potentially take a shot, or other folks can unmute.
I look at the folks where what their position is. You know, the fact that President Obama has gotten the vaccine, Michelle has gotten the vaccine, Joe Biden and his wife, these are folks who are at the top level. And I don't believe that any one of them would take anything that or ingest anything in their body that would put them in a position where they would be compromised, if not immediately, for the long term. It's proven to be safe. And also, doing my research, I was so pleased to find out from, as a Black person, that the individual who did the research over the past 5-6 years, the platform that the plasma that the vaccine rests on was developed by a Black woman. So for those reasons, I felt comfortable and too had that sense of elation once I got that first shot and ready to get the next one. So I can do that, aha, yes, all right. You know, we can take this on.
So let me sort of respond to what, build on what Ron's saying. Ron and I are both members of the Springfield Black COVID Coalition. They had a Dr. Webley from University of Massachusetts do a presentation on COVID. And he actually took us back many years prior to this current vaccine, where the vaccine technology that was fast-tracked has been developed prior. So folks are concerned that this happened so quickly. But Dr. Webley took us through this whole historical journey of how the vaccine or the basis of the vaccine was developed many years prior to COVID. He has a really powerful presentation. So the presentation took me back to my biology classes in high school, I think it was, and stuff that I had forgotten he reminded me about. That video, YouTube video is available. I will send the link to Will Davila and or to anyone else that wants it. And it's time well spent. So you'll return to biology if you've ever taken it. You'll remember what you forgot, but you'll really appreciate the historical basis for the vaccine and the fact that it happened quickly and why it happened quickly. That dismissed a whole lot of concerns that I had around the speed at which this vaccine was developed.
I think, Jessica, in terms of your question, one of the things that you're highlighting in that question is the continuous evolution of the virus. This is a really long story. And it's changing. So the variants are changing. I think one way that I've been able to cope with that is understand this is going to be the long haul, that there isn't a magic to this, that doing some of the fundamental and the basics of wearing my mask properly, hand washing, and limiting my exposure is the one thing that I can definitely do easily, even if I don't have the vaccine yet, and will continue to do so now that I've had the vaccine. I haven't changed any of that behavior. And also paying attention, I think, to information that becomes available. And I usually look to certain places, whether it's the Public Health Institute, whether it's the CDC, whether it's the Massachusetts Department Public Health. So I look for some sources of information where I feel more confident about the information I'm getting. But I think that information is only as helpful as I think about the fact that in science in general, I think what we learn today may evolve and change even tomorrow as we get more information. So it feels really frustrating when you're hearing, oh, there's a new variant, or this is changing, or this is evolving. And you're like, well, I just got this part done. I just learned how to do X, Y, and Z, or I just got that shot. And I think what it's really showing us that we don't normally see kind of behind the scenes is that that's how science evolves. There's constant research and information that's going to come to us. And it may change what we had learned before, which is a good thing. We're learning more and more. And I think if we have a little bit more of that approach to it, I don't lose confidence in what I'm learning. It's not like, oh, what they said before wasn't true. It's not that it wasn't true, is that it might have changed with new information that we're learning. So I think that that's one of the things that's really helping to put things into perspective. And that's usually what I share with people. I'm like, this is the way that science, you know, learns by this virus being out in the, you know, in the general population, and, you know, strains happen. Like, this is part of how that develops. Normally, we just don't normally see it in this acuteness of it. So that, I think, is always helpful for people to understand that there is a process to this. Not just if we hear about it today, that's the only thing that we're going to see. Variants are going to happen the more that the virus spreads. So this is when we come back to strategy of how do we mitigate it. As Frank said, is if we all were to put on our mask, you know, do all the social, well, not social, but the physical distancing, and, you know, washing our hands, those basic fundamentals, and get the vaccine, we reduce the chance that those things are going to happen, that the virus gets a hold or it changes over time. So I think that if we begin to see this virus differently, not as in one virus, only one, but to really think of it as how does a virus change over time, I think we'll become a little bit more comfortable in the news that we hear.
So if I can just piggyback into what Sarah's saying too, at least let me step back a little bit. We get plenty of calls in the office. We have, I would say, like 5 calls an hour at least, just for my patients calling, should they get vaccinated? So you know, a lot of people should go back to their providers. You know, if you have any questions about should you get the vaccine and you're not sure, there's always somebody you can reach. You know, they may not, so you may just get a simple answer. Yes, you're able to get vaccinated, and just get that reassurance. But the idea is that as long as people get vaccinated, hopefully we can decrease the amount of people getting sick with this virus. And not only that, people can, if people get sick, the duration of sickness will be less. And that's what it comes down to as far as what Sarah was saying about the mutations. We have seen people get sick, and if they have a weakened immune system, that person with that weakened immune system may potentially harbor more replications, and potentially mutations will happen the more the virus replicates. So the way to kind of mitigate this process, avoiding all these variants, is to decrease the amount of infection. So that's where this beginning of this vaccination comes in. And surely what I tell my patients is that, you know what, it may be like a flu shot, you know, like you get one this year and you get another one next year once we figure out what the mutation is going to be, and just kind of eradicating it that way. So like Sarah was saying, we're in for the long haul. You know, we have to embrace, accept it, and kind of make it a better situation by taking all the precautions and by taking the vaccine that we have available. And once people start realizing that this is the way to go, then at least we're going to be able to get to that point of herd immunity and decrease amount of sickness and avoid all these mutations. So I'm hoping that people can reach out. You know, if they have questions, they can always seek out. There's the CDC, NIH, as far as sources. But you know what? Just make a simple phone call to somebody that you trust as far as your provider, and they may be able to get back to you and give you a simple answer. Yes, it's okay to do that. Get yourself the vaccine.
That's great. I want to just stick with you for a second, Dr. Rodriguez, because there are some questions in the live stream, and we've heard actually from you all that it sounds like everyone reacted differently, you know, to the vaccine. It's a very kind of personal, individual experience with regard to the response. But in some of the questioning, there is concern about, are there long-term side effects to the vaccine? Could you answer that for the question in the live stream?
Yeah, and let me just, before I answer that, I wanted to just also add another group of sort of response. Realize too that if somebody's gotten sick with this COVID-19 infection and they get vaccinated, their response to the vaccine will be a little harsh initially. So know that, expect that. It doesn't mean that it's gonna do you harm. It just means that your body has already seen this virus and is responding a little more aggressive to the initial vaccine. So know that, expect that. You know, at least from my experience, you know, I was sick back in May. I got vaccinated 7 months later. My response to the vaccine was harsh. You know, I was I was having high fevers, and it just felt like the virus all over again. A little PTSD, right? A little post-traumatic. But the symptoms do go away. I would have to say that what I've seen, people's symptoms may last up to 2 weeks. But the symptoms from the reaction to the vaccine will indeed wear off. You know, I don't know enough about it as far as the long haulers. There's some data coming out that when they get vaccinated, their symptoms do improve. Again, time will tell. But at least for the person that was asking, I have not seen, at least from my personal experience with patients getting vaccinated, any long-term effects from the vaccine. Some people can have an immunological response to a virus, almost like an allergic reaction to a virus. So then you wonder what happens when you get vaccinated from that standpoint. I can tell you about anecdotally a person that developed a rash from the virus and then developed a rash from the vaccine. But the rash went away ultimately. So as your symptom gets situated with the vaccine, your symptoms go away. So I have not read about any long-term effects in the vaccine. There's no such thing as problems with infertility. I have not seen any problems with the immune system. I have not seen any issues with that to tell somebody not to get vaccinated.
Okay, thank you so very much. Ron, I want to go back to what you shared, though. I was so touched because amongst you panelists, you've all shared that the sources that you're thinking about or the information that you're thinking about was both kind of, you know, the celebrity from, you know, President Obama and then the science. You know, Frank likes the science. And I think we're all over the place, and there are those opportunities to find the information from both sides.
Right.
So I guess the next question is really about for folk, like let's take it personal. So for folks in your family who may still be questioning or hesitant, you know, what is your most compelling case that you're trying to share with them? Could we?
What I have shared and do share with folks, especially those that are in my agency and in the community and certainly my family, is that the data is there, the statistical data is there that people of color are the ones who are largely affected by this, not the only population, but they're largely impacted, greater than, significantly greater than their white counterparts. So with that reality, I say to the person, you're likely to have an interaction with this disease. If you're 1 out of 10, you're likely to have an interaction with it. Maybe someone in your household, someone that you work with, some situation in a social environment, you're likely to get it. So be prepared to get sick if you don't do it. That's being very matter of fact, but be cautious and err on the side of being cautious and go ahead and have the vaccine. So I try to keep it really basic with folks, but also let them know of the sources that they can go to so they can really educate themselves. So it's not just Ron saying this, you know, anecdotally, but you can go to various sources to be able to get factual information that will help you make an informed decision. But don't rest upon some of the fallacies that are out there. And I know there's one, you know, especially in terms of Black folks, the Tuskegee experience, but Dr. Wheatley kind of put that in context also from UMass. He said that, yes, they had syphilis injected with this, but the issue was not about them being injected with the syphilis. The bigger issue was that they didn't give them the antibody. They didn't give them the medication that would have taken that illness away from them. That was the big issue. That was the biggest issue. So people need to understand, even if they think about things in a historical context, make sure that there's factual information that they're receiving and not just, you know, what folk tales say.
I think one of the other important points to make, I was on a discussion yesterday with another panel, and in this panel you had physicians from Johns Hopkins, Yale, New Haven, Hartford Hospital, and they were actually talking about the vaccine, but they're also making an argument around continued precaution. And so it's the, I think the jury's still out around whether or not, having had the vaccine, can I still carry the virus? But they're really pushing the precaution nonetheless. And they use an example in talking about the flu again. They said that with their testing clinics, they has had available flu testing facilities to sort of capture the regular standard flu. And they said over the course of 9 months, they had literally no flu cases. The precautions from washing your hands, physical distancing, and mask wearing had literally, in everybody that they had tested, had eliminated a flu. So I use that to sort of further argue for and cement our new behavior, our new normal of mask wearing, hand washing, and physical distancing without a vaccine. Hopefully with a vaccine, we will continue to hand wash, maybe not wear the mask as often, but that we would actually be a lot more, use a lot more precautions in the future. But I thought that was really an impressive statistic that they literally had no flu cases during the entire pandemic with COVID because of all the precautions that were being taken. So again, use that to continue to practice that behavior for the next 6 months or so, maybe. No Neanderthal thinking.
I think what I can share is two things. In addition to, as Ron was saying, you know, really understanding, you know, the facts, you know, behind getting the vaccine and why that's so important, and, you know, information that helps to help people understand the science. The other part is I asked them, what is it that you miss doing? You know, really, how do I personalize this? What's important to you? You know, what do I miss doing? You know, if I went for walks with my best friend all the time, that might be something I haven't been able to do. And really thinking about, you know, how we're going to function now if we continuously stay where everyone is, you know, not doing the hand washing, not wearing the mask. And the goal is that we want to, you know, be able to do the things that we enjoy doing. And it sounds really simple, but at the end of the day, you know, I still have some family members that even if I share, you know, hey, I have this medical background and hey, I'm in public health, and they're like, I don't care what you say, I'm not doing it. And I'm like, well, here's the numbers. And they're like, no, Sarah, I'm not doing it. And I'm like, okay, so why? Like, what's important to you? And then we try to work backwards from there and see if we can get to a spot where, as Ron, as you were saying, I'm like, what does this mean to me, to my family? And then on a community level, honestly, the data among Black and Brown communities is so disturbing to me. And in terms of the pattern, so we were already vulnerable population for the reasons that Frank said. So we came into this pandemic already, many communities are really struggling. So whether it is with chronic health disease, whether it's the social factors, and then we have this pandemic on top of it and these inequities. I can't imagine that after we sort of at least get out of the, you know, vaccinating, keeping everyone safe, we're still, our communities will still be struggling. So I almost see it from a, on a community perspective going, no, 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 we're gonna survive this. No, no, we're not gonna be a statistic. No, no. So when I see it on a community level going, what could we do differently in Black and Brown communities to make a difference and to reduce those numbers? And I think everything that has been shared is if we all did all the things that we have been told has been shown, and Frank is saying, hey, there's no data, there's no cases of flu. Okay, great, how do we replicate that? If we in our community, for the love of our community and the ability for our communities to come out of this stronger and better than we were before, how do we mobilize everyone to do the right thing for our own families? Because I might have to get to work or else I can't feed my family, or I need to go to school or else I can't get a job. How do we mobilize each other for the love of our family and for our communities to get out of this stronger? And there's two ways we can do it. One is getting the vaccine. We all do that for our communities to be able to get out of this stronger. And two, is that we do all the precautions that have just been shared. I'm going to continue to use my mask because my goal is how can we reduce the chance that next Christmas I can see everybody that I love? That is my goal. How do I go and have lunch with you? And Miguel lives down the street, can't even go walk by, you know, our kids playing together, limiting that. I mean, if you talk about the impact, the deep impact it has on our psyche, on a personal perspective, you know, I have four children. And I've had to figure out how to navigate social isolation for them. And I've had a daughter who's struggling with depression because of this. You know, it could go really deep. And in that case, I don't want to wait, you know, 2 years for the Black and Brown community to get out of this. I want to be able to do that now. So to do that means we all have to do the right thing for each other. To get our communities to survive through this. And I think that that's the part that we sometimes forget when we have to focus on the individual. That we have to do, absolutely, no question. But as Black and Brown communities, we're doing this for each other. And I think that knowing what we understand now, the historical context of what's happened before, we have the power to make a different choice this time. And based on the information we have, do we take the vaccine? Yes, I have to make sure those kids get back to school. I have to make sure I get back to work. Do we take the precautions? Yes, because I want our communities to continue to, you know, to be able to get through this. So I think that in addition to the data, we have to have those conversations of what do we have to do as a community to get out of this stronger.
Yeah, I just want to say, I mean, I'm so glad that we're talking about this, obviously. But, you know, one of the things that stands out for me is that, you know, when we talk about who the heroes are, obviously, you know, we're looking at them right here on the screen. But there are also a lot of the people who will tend to be more vulnerable, more skeptical, and more likely to be on the front line. So this is a kind of a perfect storm. So I'm really glad that we're talking about this because we're not talking about folks who can just stay home and wait this out. We're talking about people who need to be out there. They need to earn a living. They need to support their families. And if they're also more vulnerable because they're already predisposed to some of these social determinants, and on top of that, you know, they're skeptical because of some of the historical reasons, and they have to go to work. That's just, you know, getting hit from all sides. So I'm really glad that you guys are sharing your stories. And Sarah, what you just said, I think is really powerful because you have to be willing to just get that done and be a part of the solution. And I hope that people hear what you guys are saying. So I wanted to just interject with that. Thank you.
Dr. McAdoo, what you just said was extremely powerful. It was one of those moments I wanted to say amen, you know, because truly, you're putting the word out there and you're making it so accessible to everyone. One of the things that I thought about that we haven't said to folks, we talk about social conditions, but health conditions. The Black and Brown folks, why are we so much likely to get it? Well, we're diabetic. We have the highest percentage of diabetes, cardiovascular health issues, high blood pressure, obesity. Those are just some of the things. And we tend to live at a socioeconomic level that is lower than everyone else's. So our access to healthy food and having diets that are well-balanced with all the right nutrients that would make our bodies, keep our bodies strong and not be invaded by a disease such as the COVID-19. So as an individual, I think that you have to look at that. Families have to take a look at their historical health conditions of their family and make the decision what's going to be important for them to do so that they, like you said, can see their family members next Christmas and have quite an amazing reunion.
Frank, were you going to say something? I'm sorry.
No. I'm just sort of, I have been rehearsing or reliving a lot of the conversation. And I just keep coming back to family first, you know. And I was listening to Ron travel in and out of the house, and testing to keep his family safe. And, and I've done just the opposite. I leave the house about once a month, literally. and I go into the office to meet with my boss, Mark Kerouac, the CEO. So that's the only thing that really pulls me out. And other than that, I'm in the house. Ron is a really good friend. I haven't seen him face to face.
Even these houses.
Yeah, so it's this family dynamic that really, I would say, has made me excited about the vaccine. My mother-in-law, 86, got her second vaccine yesterday. Dora gets her second vaccine in another week. And I'm really looking forward to our family being a little bit more nimble, and connecting with other family members that also have received the vaccine. So we began the discussion, and I actually, as I was listening to other folks follow, the family theme really, really struck a chord for me. So my recommendation for folks, if you care about your family, get the vaccine.
Thank you, and I appreciate that. I know you have to get off 5 minutes early, Frank, so I appreciate that as your closing comment, a powerful comment. If you care about your family, get the vaccine. And maybe Dr. Rodriguez, I think it's a great point, Ron, that you brought up testing, because now the dialogue, I feel like, is so much about the vaccine, but are you still encouraging people to get tested frequently or when they, when they're not feeling well, et cetera?
Yeah, definitely the issue with this virus is that the earlier you know that you have, that somebody has it, the earlier somebody can get treatment if they qualify for it, depending on their health conditions. For example, let's say somebody has significant risk factors for complications. If I can get them to get monoclonal antibodies infused into them as an outpatient, if they require it, then at least I can get them that step closer to getting healthier. If they need medications, I can get them medications, at least some medications that we can provide. So knowing early is the key. The thing with the virus is that, as you know, we don't have a lot of medications for it. The medications we have are subpar. The medications that were used for something else and they realized maybe it will help. There's a lot of those medications that they've been looking at. In the near future, I know we'll have direct therapies for this virus, but for now we don't. Not great, at least. So these medications work well only if given early. So for people, if you're wondering if you're sick with it, and if you have risk factors, definitely use it. But also, it's also the issue that I've been seeing is most people worry about getting sick at the supermarket or getting sick at the hospital. A lot of people get sick at home because that's when we drop our guard. That's when we have our grandson's visit. And, oh, no, you're not getting out of here without a hug from grandma. And that's when we drop our guard. So it's dealing with that issue as far as the social, the need for that, for those relationships, right? That we long for those relationships. So the earlier we know, the earlier we can get treated if we have something, but also the sooner we can protect our family. So that is key. That is crucial not to spread it. As you guys know, people can spread this virus very early. And unlike the flu where it's contagious, this is much more contagious than the flu. So that's why people are still getting sick, even with all the precautions. Some people are still getting sick with some of the precautions. So I also wanted to add one part, and the vaccine obviously is a great, great resource to have. There's not a lot of vaccine out there and more is coming. So the other thing we need to think about with the vaccine is that, when one is offered to you, doesn't matter which one it is. You know, that's the big issue that we have. It doesn't matter if it's the Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, it doesn't matter. You know, just get, if you have the opportunity, I've had patients that have decided not to get a certain vaccine, waiting for another one, and they're still waiting. So it's not good. So it doesn't matter at this point where we're at, all vaccines will work. And the key thing is that they'll prevent the severe sickness, they'll prevent the hospitalization. So just keep that in mind. Testing is key, to prevent the spread of this thing, but also to get yourself treated, at least to answer the question.
That's a great, great response. And I think this virus, it's multiple things that we have to do. And I think that you all have shared that so well. It's not one thing, it's all of it. And we have to keep going together. Will, do you have anything you'd want to add as your closing statement? And then we could quickly go around. We have about 5 minutes.
Yeah, I don't think that I could add to what these guys have said, but I do, one analogy comes to mind with what Dr. Rodriguez was just talking about. There used to be a statistic years ago that the majority of the vehicle accidents that people got into were when they were really close to home. And one of the reasons for that is that when people are really close to home, they let down their guard. They know the neighborhood, they know the traffic, they know what to expect. And so they're a little bit more relaxed. They're more tired when they're getting home. And that's when stuff happens. And I think that this is really what we're facing right now. We're close to home. People are letting down their guard. People are more relaxed and they feel a little bit more confident and more secure, when in fact, this is a time to really double down and stay on top of this, do the social distancing, take the vaccine if you can get it, and take all the steps. You know, as I said at the beginning, I got the vaccine, and my staff and I here, we're still social distancing. If we have a meeting that includes more than two people, we do it online, even if we're right down the hall from each other. And so we're taking all the steps that we need to take, because we know that we are close to home, but that's all the more reason to not get into an accident. So that's all I'll say.
Thank you.
And thank you, everybody. Sorry. Thank you all for being a part of this. I really do appreciate it. I don't want to end without saying that.
Ron, Sarah, Miguel, any closing thoughts?
So for me, I mentioned CEO, community engaged, family, and I'll end on the family note. I have two grandchildren now, a grandson that was just born. He's 2 weeks old. This weekend, stat tomorrow, it'll be today actually. He's 2 weeks old. Haven't gone to see him yet. Gonna get my second vaccine on Monday. My wife, she's gonna get connected in as well. But we need to do that because we love our family. And so hopefully I'm appealing to someone who's watching and thinking, gee, my grandkids, or my daughter, my son, you know, think about your family and plan to be around for them and do what you need to do in order to be there for them, because they want you to be around.
Congratulations, Grandpa.
Yeah. Jonas Charles Johnson.
Oh. Dr.
I love that. Enjoy when you get a moment to... to be there and hug
yeah.
And, yeah. And I think that that's exactly what we all really need right now is a big hug.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
The two things that I can share, and I wish I can see everybody, maybe one day, William, in the future, some other health related, you know, in a more positive light, we'll be able to have a great conversation. But the two things that I can say is, one, things are really very difficult right now. And for many of us, it could be one of the most difficult times in our lives. That is absolutely true. But one, there might be resources out there that you can go to just to get you through this time. It might be community-based. I mean, Ron, I go often to MLK to know about food services and other things. This is not an easy time, and you have to be okay that this is not, that's gonna be a hard time, but don't give up. Continue to do all the right things for the precautions that we talked about. And if given the opportunity, as Dr. Rodriguez said, get the vaccine, whatever vaccine that it's available, because it is hard to come by at the moment. And I can tell you that the struggle is really hard. My mom, we have still not have been able to vaccinate her, and she's anxiously waiting, but we've had difficulty trying to sign up. We have difficulty finding out information. So we hear you. But please be persistent and continue to get through this, because the good thing about the silver lining in all this is that the issues that are so important to Black and Brown communities are continuing to be raised up by many in the community and across the nation. So out of this, there might be real hope for change for us over time. So I think not to lose that hope, both in our personal lives and for our communities, and to keep that close to you. So just hang in there, do the right thing, persevere, do what you need to do the things that you need to do to take care of your family.
So I guess I wanted to just touch upon a few things. So first is side effects, right? Vaccine side effects that people are concerned about. So, you know, if you have a questions about any potential side effect, depending on your health issues, you know, seek out your provider, definitely. I think that's a reasonable thing to do. There are people that need to do that, people that are immunocompromised, people that have severe allergic reactions, but that's only a small percentage of our population. Most people do not have to deal with those medical issues and therefore should be perfectly fine getting vaccinated. Again, if you have questions, seek out your provider and they'll be able to just give you some reassurance with your medical issues. There's always going to be a side effect from all vaccines. You know, think about the flu. There's always a chance, you know, you sign that consent. Always a chance for some side effects. What we've seen with these vaccines is we have not seen any significant amount of reactions, a rare allergic reaction. So from that standpoint, you know what, this is something that we have to take. It's almost like that leap of faith, right? When we do something, there's always that chance, but it's minimal, and the benefits outweigh the risks by far. So that's, know that you will have symptoms after the vaccine. Some people may just have a sore arm. Some people may have some lymph nodes in the arm. Some people may have fatigue and cough and fevers and aches for several days, but it will go away. There's no such thing as infertility that people have been hearing about. There's nothing to do with that. That was all some theory, but there isn't any of that evidence. And the virus is real, and the virus is changing, and the virus is getting more deadly. So I actually have been seeing about at least one person dying a day. And this is a small community hospital. I couldn't imagine a bigger tertiary center. My patients, you know, regular, just we can't do anything for them. So we just have to stay firm with what we need to do. So continue your practices. Seek out questions, answers, if you have questions to your answers, but get yourself mm-hmm. vaccinated. Because again, if you don't get the vaccine, somebody else will. And that was your blessing that you passed by. So don't let any blessings go by.
Thank you so much. Thank you so very much, Will, for putting this all together, and Dr. Rodriguez and Dr. McAdoo, and Ron and Frank had to leave, but thank you. We know we are at time. We will answer the questions that have been put forth that we didn't answer, and we will post those on the Children's Study Home as well as the Public Health Institute website, as well as this link, so you can share it with your loved ones. So go get vaccinated when it's your turn. Thank you so much, everyone. Have a wonderful afternoon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone. Take care, guys.